Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It's another episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, the show where we talk musicals and everything that they teach us. We have got three hosts and a guest today. It's just like almost every other episode. Yay! So no surprises here. My name is Miranda Selwood. With me at the table,
Julie Eisentrager.
It's me, KB.
How are you, ladies?
Very well, thank you, Miranda.
You know, today's the first time I've noticed how twinkly our intro music is.
I know. I have a Skype date with Benedict on Tuesday, so I'm going to tell him how good he did.
Tell him I think he's extra twinkly.
Yeah, I'll be like, just see what he says.
Super twinkly today and every day we play your intro music.
I'm also twinkly at the table. Our very special welcome back guest.
Hi, Ori Diskett.
How are you?
I'm really good. I'm really excited to be back.
Talking Last about time you were here, you spoke about
Hadestown.
I missed it, so I'm very glad that I didn't miss you this time.
Yeah, I'm glad too.
Otherwise, you would have started taking it personally.
Yeah, I was like,
Miranda's just dodging my episodes.
Not at all, not at all. So we are going to do the Getting to Know You quiz again today.
Okay.
Purely because I didn't get to sing you the song last time. So here it is. I just have to warm up. Getting to know you, getting to know all about you. Did you like it?
I did. That was not the style I was expecting.
It's the Ethel Merman version.
Yeah, I think that's my favourite one so far.
Oh, good. I'm glad everybody's pleased. Now, more importantly, let's get to know Ori.
Okay. What's the first question?
The first question is, who is hosting this episode, okay? Is it you? Is it me?
I mean, it really should be Ori.
Okay. What musical character would other people compare you to?
So when I asked people about this before my last episode, everybody said Ursula from The Little Mermaid, which...
And do you take that as the compliment that it is?
Yes.
Or, yeah, okay,
I absolutely take that as a compliment it is.
Good. Okay, we're going with it?
Yeah.
Cool. Which musical character would you like other people to compare you to? Who are you on the inside? Who do you want to be? Who do you aspire to?
I'm going to go with Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
That's amazing.
I just really want to steal the voices of mermaids.
Yeah. I just really want to be like a squid drag queen monster and steal people's voices for a living, yeah.
All right. Does she make a living doing that? Is that... Like, what does she really get out of
it? She hits the club circuit.
Does she?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Can you imagine, though, she hits the club and she, like, puts Ariel's voice in and starts singing Part of Your World. Like, everyone's like, oh, my gosh.
She's just lip-syncing.
So fun. Like, she can do it for, like, multiple people who she's, like, in the past just happened to have stolen voices from.
Yeah. Ariana Grande.
Cool party trick.
I mean, we just saw Miranda do it for Ethel Merman.
I did, yes, get her to sign a very poorly drafted contract. Now I have her voice. Sorry, Ethel. What's your dream role?
Look, I'm going to go with what I said last time, which I think is probably production designer on Hadestown would be my ideal thing. I just really love the aesthetic of that show. And I mean, I really love the aesthetic of the show we're talking about today. And they have a lot in common, the two of them. They share a director and some cast members. And
That'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So really into just underworld things. Underworld,
yeah, totally.
Under the sea. Yeah. Just under.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yep. I'm looking forward to Under the Bed, the musical by Ori.
The cupboard what else under can we the go stairs. Under? It's under a Harry Potter musical. Oh,
yeah. Yes. Under I the like covers it. With Julie Argentine.
Oh, wow.
That's a different podcast.
It is a different podcast.
Do we want that in a musical format?
Yes. I mean, I've already done that in a musical. But I'll do it again and it's going to be great.
What is your favourite Sondheim show?
I don't know that I've ever seen a Sondheim
just
show.
Just go see one and it's then been, that can be your favourite.
It's been like over a year since I recorded the last episode and I still haven't seen a Sondheim show.
Julie's about to be in Into the Woods. You can go see that.
Yes.
Yeah. Send me a comp.
And then that'll be your favourite.
That's how that works.
We're just going to preemptively say Into the Woods is your favourite.
Yeah,
now.
Okay, sure.
What's your go-to shower song? What are we singing?
At the moment, it's probably anything by Lizzo.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah, good as
Lizzo.
Hell.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
You don't know who Lizzo
what?
Is?
I'm sorry.
Do you not know who Lizzo is, Miranda?
She's amazing.
No. We'll get off air. We need to fix this off air because we don't have the time. We don't have the means.
Okay.
We don't hold the rights.
All right.
No, we don't. Can you imagine if we did?
I mean, we'd be playing Lizzo all day, every day.
Yeah. Is that...
Regardless of saying agreed okay. or not.
I'm just going to move on. You have to delete a musical from existence. Here it is. You get to delete your second one.
Well, last time I deleted Mamma Mia. Mm. So I think I'm going to delete Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again.
Yeah.
So essentially
just
the same
set.
Show.
Whoa.
Yeah. All right. Just line them up and knock them down.
Fair.
That's fair.
Totally into it. All right, that's the getting to know you segment.
Do you feel like you know me?
I do.
That's yeah, the, good. You sang it again.
Yeah, well, just
that's never happened before.
Very.
Well, I needed two because
that's true
because
it's the second
one.
Time he's done that. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Anyway, you've brought us a show.
I have.
What is this show?
So we're talking about Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
That is a long title.
It is a long title.
It's got two names and a celestial being in it.
Yep.
And a year.
Mm.
Wow.
Commonly known as the Great Comet.
Okay.
Because it's exhausting to say.
To say the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Now, there are actually more characters than just Natasha and Pierre.
There are.
And they do lots of things. Are you ready to give us the elevator pitch?
Oh, sure.
The 2-minute everything that happens.
Everything that happens. Okay. Yep. Yeah, I can do that.
Are you ready? The timer
ready.
Is on.
Yeah.
KB's got it.
I'm ready.
You're ready. Here we go. Natasha Pierre, all those other Russian people,
yes.
And a comet in 1912. Go.
1812.
Shit.
Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812 is based on about 70 pages of Tolstoy's War and Peace. It
just
tells
70?
Just 70 of however many hundred.
And not the beginning 70.
Sorry,
no,
continue.
Just continue.
He's just picked 70 pages like from the middle. And
This bit.
I'll do this bit into a musical. So it's about a young woman called Natasha who is betrothed to a guy called Andre. But he's not here.
No, I did hear that.
Yeah, they make it quite clear in the opening song that he's not here. He's off at war. Fighting, I think, Napoleon, probably. And then one day at the opera, Natasha sees this other guy, Anatole, and she's like, holy shit.
Damn!
I don't love Andre anymore. I love Anatole.
I'm going to get on that.
And so it's all about like their growing relationship and writing love letters to each other. And eventually Anatole decides he's going to steal her away in the middle of the night.
Is that necessary?
Yes.
No, just keep going.
It's 1812.
It's 1812. It's very...
Or 1912, possibly. No.
So he comes along in his sled and goes to...
sled.
It's Russia. It's snowy.
I know.
You have 30 seconds, Ori.
Sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. I'm almost running out of things to talk about.
Well, then you're done.
Is that,
then I'm
that's
done.
That's all that happens.
Yeah.
How do they live happily ever after?
I can't remember.
It's spoilers anyway. You guys have to figure that out for yourself.
And then it ends.
How very Russian.
Yeah.
Just
it ends with the Great Comet. They see this comet overhead and it's like an omen of the future.
Oh, it doesn't come crashing down to the earth and explode everything.
No. Damn shame.
That would have been an interesting
1812
ending.
The year the dinosaurs died.
I'm looking forward to that. Is that the sequel, maybe? Okay. Okay, so there's a lot of beautiful design in this show. Mm-hmm. It's interestingly built, a lot like Hadestown.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about that.
So it totally has this... So it's moved through a few theatres. It started off completely in the round, where the action was happening in and around the audience. The audience became part of the audience when they're at the opera, for example. And I'm pretty sure the performers also did most of the music themselves. So whenever they weren't on stage, they were playing a musical instrument.
Oh.
And then they moved it into a couple of proscenium theatres on the road to Broadway. And so they had to kind of adjust the staging a bit, which is exactly what Hadestown also had to do, was adjust itself to be in a proscenium theatre. But Great Comet ended up, they actually removed 200 seats from the venue and then added a whole bunch of on-stage, like, cabaret table seating, which I just think is so cool.
Again, very similar to Hadestown.
Yeah. Mm. It's that they really want to blur the lines between where the audience is and where the performers are.
Take out that fourth wall.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yep. Josh Groban had to learn how to play the accordion for this show. And he did it.
I'm surprised that wasn't already on his resume.
Right.
You know.
He did. He picked it up while he was on it. Like, he's obviously a musician anyway. So he went on tour and he took the accordion with him and he named it Olga.
Aww. That's adorable.
Olga the accordion.
Doesn't seem like a Russian name, but okay.
I mean, his accordion might not be Russian, Julie. True. His accordion might come from somewhere else.
Yeah, right.
And very big where Olga comes from.
And this show was Josh Groban's Broadway debut, which blew my mind. I felt like no way was this the first time he was on Broadway,
definitely,
but it was.
Definitely was.
Yeah. And also because he asked for it.
First and
he
last.
He saw it and he was like, this is amazing and I love this show. And then it was like, it's going to Broadway. And he was like, hey guys, I know you have a Pierre, but I want to be Pierre. And they were like, okay, bye, Pierre. We got Josh Groban.
Pierre, who was originally played by Malloy, who wrote the damn thing.
Yeah.
And he got kicked off his own show for Josh Groban to have the part.
It's dirty and gross, and I hate it.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, Josh Groban ain't that good, ain't that hot.
He sings very well.
He would have sold tickets.
Yeah, absolutely. And it might have been his Broadway debut, but he has done shows. He's done a lot of shows. I actually really enjoyed his version of Chess, which was also Josh Groban saying, I want to sing Anatoly in Chess, so I'm going to put it on in a super stadium production.
Look,
and it
he
really
goes
worked
after
out.
What he wants, yeah, right? And to be fair, like, a lot of the ticket sales for this show, I think it ended up being like 63 or 65% of ticket sales were tourists only buying tickets for the show, not necessarily people from America or from New York. So I think a lot of that came down to the fact that Josh Groban would have been in.
Yeah.
Was the lead. He would have been the drawing card for a lot of people if they're visiting. I know if I visit New York, I'm like, oh my goodness, that person that I love is in that show. I'm going to go see that show. You know? So
you get a lot of chances to do that. So
no, you don't.
You have to when you can. So Pierre is the lead.
Well,
in
Natasha
Pierre.
It's hard to say.
Where does Pierre fit into the story?
So Pierre is an old family friend of Natasha's family. And he's a good friend of Natasha's fiancé. He's sort of just this extra guy who is there and invested in the plot. But his whole character is he's this old man who just sits at home reading and drinking. And
that sounds great.
Yeah.
That's
and
who
then
I want to be when I grow up.
Occasionally he just gets a song to, like, have an opinion on what's going on.
Life goals.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the music. Listening to it, it seems... Like, I felt a bit of Chess vibe in it, in the way it's this pop opera sort of blend of style with a little bit of Russian folk in
totally.
There for flavour.
Yeah.
But it is sort of interesting the way the music, as the characters get corrupted, I guess, the music becomes more pop influenced and loses yep. some of its classical nature. Is that anyone else want to say anything?
I think
on
that's
that?
Why no, I took I was issue listening. With it. Like, I think it, I don't know, I just didn't like the style. I when I was driving here and I was listening to, I kept skipping songs because I was like, I'm bored with this now, I can't do it anymore. But I got to the song Letters and the look on my face, I wish someone else had been in the car because I was like, what am I listening to? But I think this is another issue and I feel bad because I also had this issue with Hadestown is that, and I've not seen it, I think it's a better musical to see than it is to listen to. Mm.
Because yeah. it is essentially immersive theatre.
Yes.
In that you are a part, as much a part of the action, if there's actors all around
yeah.
you and you're in it.
Because now that I've seen snippets yeah. of Hadestown, I'm like, wow, this would actually be really, really cool to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't get on board with
just the music.
Yeah, just the music. Like I can other shows.
I think maybe if you gave it a few more listens and got used to the tone of it and
perhaps.
Started singing with it, you might enjoy singing it.
Yeah.
Like it feels like one
no.
of those scores to me.
There's some really beautiful songs in there. Is it – which one did I message you about today, Julie? No One Else.
No, yeah.
No One Else I love. Mm. I think
and,
it's gorgeous.
Sonia Alone gets me every time.
I Sonia Alone, I liked the shape of the song. I did not like, what's her name, Brittany.
Oh, really? See, I adore her voice.
Yeah.
I think she's...
So from a technical perspective, her voice is very odd.
Yeah.
She holds everything she sings in the front of her mouth, but also has like a very deep timbre. So it kind of sounds like she's eating something while she's singing.
Maybe she is. Maybe that's her
maybe
thing.
Maybe she's hungry.
maybe
you're just
show.
Jealous you can't do that, okay?
I can sing while there's things in my mouth.
Oh. Let's move on quickly from that moment.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so.
I do actually have a bad review.
Is it time for Bad Reviews with Julie?
I like that one.
Yeah, that's a cool one. Yeah. So this one, this is a TripAdvisor review. So this Ooh. Is a layman... take on it. Reviewed by Desmonda New York.
Ooh.
She goes by. This review was the 8th of December 2016. She says, I was extremely excited to see this. The New York Times compared it to Hamilton, which I loved, and the reviewer said he even preferred it to Hamilton. Expectations were high, but the reviewer could not have been more wrong. Not a single memorable song, zero character development. This is based on Tolstoy, who is known for richly drawn characters, but I found that I did not care for a single character.
Aww.
The plot was extremely simplistic and frankly boring. Josh Groban is wasted in this production. He spends most of the first half of the show behind a piano. His voice is
like he does when he's Josh Groban.
Yeah.
wasted.
His voice is phenomenal, though it is sad that this show had to be his Broadway debut. I was going to walk out during intermission. Many audience members around us did, but I decided to wait for it to improve in the second half. Sadly, it did not.
I think compare anything to Hamilton is stupid to start off with. But also, if you're going in to see a proscenium arch hip-hop musical, then you're definitely going to be disappointed by The Great Comet. Like, if that's what you're going in to see...
Yeah.
Then you are not going to sit there being like, this is amazing. You're going to be like, where's the breakdancing and why isn't Lin-Manuel Miranda not in front of me? Like,
why isn't Josh Groban rapping right now?
Why isn't Josh Groban rapping?
But then again, why did the New York Times writer compare it to Hamilton?
But that's my big question is like, why why put...
Historical
I
content.
Like, that's
could
just
be classical, but
silly.
Not.
I find
yeah,
that so silly.
Maybe. Could be classical, but...
Is but
not.
It's not.
That
they
sort
shared
of
a cast member,
framing?
Philippa Soo. Was,
they did. Philippa Soo was in.
There you go.
She was Natasha. Yeah. and they did end up having another Hamilton cast member.
Hercules Mulligan was in it eventually too.
And
he's my favorite Hamilton.
Therein lies the controversy.
Oh, no controversy.
Tell
yeah,
us.
So
I'll tell.
There was all this controversy with the role of Pierre. So initially, Josh Groban, you know, kind of barging his way in and being like, I'm Pierre now. But then,
dear producers, my name is Josh Groban and I am here now.
Classic. Yes.
The actor who I'm going to be really white here and say I can't pronounce his name. I'm really sorry.
Before. I mean, you can show me and I can give it a go.
Oh.
Cause
and also,
I'm also super offensive, so it's fine.
Yeah, nah, mate.
I know his nickname is Oak, so we'll call
Let's
him
go
Oak.
With that.
So he is a black performer, mm-hmm. right? And so it was kind of, you know, really cool and interesting that he was taking on the role of Pierre as this like old Russian man. Mm-hmm. They decided to replace him later on with Mandy Patinkin.
Yeah.
Wait, what? To be fair, Mandy Patinkin is the age that the role probably should be.
Great.
It's been played by a lot of young people. But also...
But the fact that they were cutting Oak's run short in favour of trying to bring in this draw card name.
Because they weren't selling tickets.
Well, yes, the show was failing. So and, you know, after Josh Groban had left, they sort of... They needed a name on the bill.
They needed a draw card, And so, but then there was all this controversy because he was replacing this black actor. And so Mandy Patinkin pulled out and the show just folded.
Yeah, they ended up losing... I was reading an article about this just before we started recording and I was getting so mad. I'm so mad because a lot of the reason too was the director wanted basically a carbon copy. She wanted the track to be the same thing and Oak was giving, I mean, his own spin on it. And for me as an actor, I'm like, well, that's your job, right? So like as long as you hit your mark and you've got intention and there's connection and there's meaning and storytelling behind what you're doing, why are you trying to make me be someone else being someone else? It's hard enough taking on a character alone. But if I have to be Josh Groban being Pierre, you're never going to get... You might as well keep Josh Groban.
But also Josh Groban wasn't the first
Pierre. But Josh Groban wasn't the first Pierre, so he would have been Malloy's Pierre if that was the track that they were doing. And I was like, that is not a reason. One, having a name to sell tickets, and two, having difficulties in inverted commas with an actor because they want to make the role their own. Just seems like some really dumb reasons to go in a different direction. But they ended up losing $14 million on the show because they outfitted an entire theatre and box office to house it. And instead of maybe focusing on tweaking the show itself to make it more accessible to a wider audience.
You just have to make it pretty and sparkly.
Let's throw in a star and hope for the best. Mandy Patinkin is excellent on stage and definitely would have sold tickets. But still,
he's probably my pick out of the aforementioned performance to want to see it.
But it's absolutely not on Oak, and to put that on him is so... I think that's such a horrible way to go about it.
It was a big thing when it happened.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of back and forth and a lot of people going, well, I kind of see both sides here. And because there was the initial Mandy Patinkin's taking the role, hoorah. Yeah. And then there was so much... what about it that Mandy Patinkin then quit and then it was this whole other, oh my god, now we've got other things we need to complain about and be, you know, it became a very dramatic situation for the sake of being dramatic and did nothing for the show.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I think, a good show suffered
because of controversy.
A loss because of that and that's always very sad.
Yeah.
Maybe it will come back.
I was going to say their loss is our gain because now regional rights are available. So
it might be the kind of show that belongs off Broadway anyway. Yeah. You know, if you want to have that immersive experience, then put it in a smaller venue.
Exactly. Put it in a bar.
Non-theatre space. Give it some weird theatre attic and deck that out. The old Metro would have been awesome for
it. So I'd be interested to see where the show goes now that it's been sort of released into the world.
And, definitely.
From the shackles of Broadway. No more shackles. All right. Well, I think are we ready to move on to our lessons that we have learned from Natasha and Pierre and all those other people and the comet of 1812. See, I've learnt something already.
Well done.
So we've all just learnt something. What KB's going to go first.
Okay, I've got to get this right because I don't want to offend him. Okidiate Anadwan.
Okidiate Anadwan.
Is how well we done. Pronounce Oak's name.
So good.
Thank you, such producer Zane, such for a finding handy thing that to interview.
Okidiate. It's pleasant to
it's
say.
It's actually quite beautiful.
Okidiate Anadwan. We should write a song.
We all heard that. Don't try.
Oh, no, I've ruined it. I've forgotten already. Anadwan.
Like, yeah.
Another one.
Yeah.
Akiriate Anad. We need to move on. So what else have we learned? I think that I learned most specifically that Andre is not here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Andre isn't here.
He's not here.
And you can put a character in the title, but the character doesn't mean that the character is vital to the storytelling.
Why was that
weird
choice made?
Like, you fully could remove Pierre from the show and it would be a complete story.
Is he meant to sort of represent the position of Andre, who isn't there?
Kind of, because he's Andre's friend. And he kind of... Well, he's more like a father figure to Natasha. But he swoops in at the last second and sort of saves her.
There you go. He's the hero of the tale.
He's the hero of the tale. But yeah, and he spends the whole, well, like that review said, he spends the whole of the first half like just behind a piano.
A lot of great people spend time behind pianos.
Yeah.
Josh Groban. I learnt from Julie's review that some people don't like it when Josh Groban just sits behind a piano, so maybe he can take that into his,
but
like,
maybe those
terrain.
People just don't like Josh Groban.
Maybe that's possible too. I would never have picked War and Peace to be stimulus for a musical.
But maybe that's why you do it.
Yeah, and I think that's what I learned, is that maybe the most obscure choice in the musical theatre format is the thing that you can play with the most. And people might hate it. Obviously, people did not enjoy it and they wanted a star to, like, to get the show going. But it's exciting to think that a book that, for me, is quite hard to get through, but could work out to be stunning. The production stills of this show are stunning.
I think that's the case for a lot of these, you know, great Russian stories. Yeah. The design is always very opulent and beautiful to look at and interesting. And, you know, it has that beautiful blend of being exotic but not too exotic. No. You know, like, not really familiar but exotic.
Not so, like, old town too, that it's not still, like, beautiful to look at. Like, it's not... It doesn't make it any less accessible. When you walk in, you're still going to be like, this is stunning. And every time a new photo came up, you'd probably be watching me scrolling before. Yeah, I was just like, oh my goodness.
So pretty.
The portraits, the lights, the velvet.
I'm scrolling now. That's very pretty.
They lost that $14 million. Yeah. The velvet budget.
The velvet. And probably there's a bunch of people that don't like velvet, so they would have walked in being like, nah, we're out.
Zane can't touch velvet. Exactly. So, you know, he's... you can look at it. Okay, that's good. So I think too that further to that point, it's about picking the right part.
Yeah.
And focusing in on something. I think, you know, one of the flaws of Les Mis might be that they took on the whole book.
Yeah.
You know, no one wants to see the full length War and Peace the musical. So maybe that was a smart choice.
In
70 pages, sufficient.
Yeah.
Let's just take this one part of the story and focus.
I mean,
on
I
that.
Hate to break it to you, but that's also not all of Les Mis.
It's a lot of the book.
It's a brief overview of the book.
That's what I'm talking about, though. They tried to fit the whole book in,
right?
And so
they could have just followed the one storyline.
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
But also, it kind of probably gives way to, like, if somebody wants to try it again, it's like, well, let's pick part one and pages 150 to 175 and we'll call it Pierre returns. Andre returns.
The arrival of Andre.
The arrival of Andre, and see what happens.
And the comet of 1813. Because it's the next year. I don't know how War and Peace works. I haven't read it. I'm sorry.
No, should I have read it? I haven't read it either.
You haven't read it?
No, not even those 70 pages.
Are you kidding me?
No.
No, I haven't tried it.
I was about to say, surely I haven't read War and Peace. I'm never going to. It's too large.
I have it on my bookshelf. I bought it after I fell in love with this musical and then I've just never touched it.
Right.
Classic. It's
like, I think that's pretty much where most people get like with War. They're like, I should own a copy of this. And that's it. That's it. The end.
Done. Done. Achievement unlocked.
So that people come over to your house and they're like, wow, this person reads Tolstoy. I'm impressed. I want to sleep with them.
Oh, that's what I'm doing.
See, right. We're still learning. Anything else?
I learned that if you want a role and you're a big enough name,
you can have that role.
You can have that role.
On Broadway.
On Broadway. I'm just going to start a list. And then we'll see what happens and I'll just start emailing people.
Why don't you just start emailing people? What are they going to do? Say no? That's fine.
Probably.
But like, they might say yes.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Mm, maybe.
Mm. I learned that anachronisms can be really jarring. Like there's a line early in the show where Pierre's talking about how all he does is read and he says, I spend hours at a time, hours at my screen. And it's like we're in 1812 and he's on a screen. Yeah. It has all of these little anachronisms of just weird things from the modern.
Do you think that's deliberate?
I think so.
It'd have to be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think they're
so jarring.
I don't like it.
A lot of it is rhyming and I didn't really hear that the first time I listened to it, I think, because I was just like, what is happening? So maybe it was just like he'll throw in the rhyming word and see if anyone notices. Yeah.
Somebody did. Yeah. Anything else? Or shall we move on to casting this sucker?
I'm so nervous about casting this.
Then let's do it.
On the assumption that we can't trust all the correct people to just write to the producers and say, this is the role I'll be playing, who would we put forward for Natasha Pierre and the most important role in the show, The Great Comet?
I think I probably should play The Great Comet.
I would be supportive of that.
Yeah. In like a sparkly unitard.
Like in a harness, yeah. Hoisted up. Yeah.
And then we're across 1812 and whatever written across.
Yeah, and I have these lights that come out from my feet. Wow. And it's just like as I get flown across, it's just...
No, pyrotechnics, man.
Yeah, pyrotechnics in my mirror ball suit.
With the velvet surrounding.
Yes. Okay, so that's done. How about some of the other roles?
I mean, I have a Pierre suggestion.
Yeah? Is it Mandy Patinkin?
No, but it is of the same, I guess, age-ish kind of appropriateness as Mandy Patinkin, like Philip Quast.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I think would be a good pick.
I think you could take anyone who's done Anatolian chess and throw them in, and he would also be great in that. So therefore, yeah. I agree with you.
Thank you.
It confuses me that there's so many Anatolis.
It's Russian
musical theater world.
It's like John in English. Anatoly.
For Natasha,
somebody beautifully Russian.
Someone beautifully Russian. I don't know.
We're all looking at you, KB, so you better come up with something.
Who would play a good Russian?
I would like to see this as like somehow mixed with a bit of ballet and chuck someone in there who is Russian. That this is ballerina and singer. Rare, but we'll find one.
Christine in Phantom is a ballerina and a singer.
Who did the Cats?
Who did the Cats?
So
I keep going to say Victoria, but that's her cat name.
That
I
is
think.
Her cat name.
That's what I can.
Hayward. Hayworth.
It's definitely her film. But Francesca Hayward.
Yeah, I got
We don't know if
name.
She can sing, but it's fine. We'll dub it.
Did she not sing in
She's
Cats?
She sang in Cats.
Did she? Yes!
Does she have to be a ballerina for this show, though?
No, Julie just invented that.
On a delightful tangent in my head where I would like to see it.
All young Russian women are ballerinas. That's what we have learned from the world.
I just, when you're like Russian, all I can hear is Kate Blanchett do a Russian accent. I don't know why. So let's cast Kate Blanchett.
I'm very focused on Red Sparrow in my brain right now.
She was a Russian villain in one of the Marvel movies. That's why, Julie.
Cool.
Yeah. I honestly don't know how to cast the show, and maybe because the previous casting has made me angry. I'd bring back Oak just for him to be able to do the role how he wants to do it.
Yeah, I would be really interested to hear the Broadway recording with him instead of Groban.
Yeah. I just think they cast a lot of younger people. Anyone in that age demographic could probably pull off Pierre. You've got your Brian D'Arcy Jameses and your John Lithgow. You know, like anyone who has been an older gentleman on Broadway.
Judi Dench. Judi Dench has also been an older man on Broadway.
Judi Dench, you know.
Judi Dench would be an all right Maria. Sure, she's got that kind of matronly, motherly.
She's old school.
Maria is old school.
We'd put obviously Zac Efron in as Anatoly because where else would, like, he's got to be attractive enough, obviously, to pull the attention of Natasha. So
it might not be that hard. I mean, I feel like Natasha isn't particularly experienced in the world.
No, Natasha is young.
She's young. Yeah, that I did hear that.
Yeah, Natasha really, I really don't like this character. Like
Natasha.
Natasha, the title character. She's so like naive and dumb. And like she spends the first few songs going on about how, oh, nobody understands how much I love Andre. And then she like spots Anatole across a ballroom and she's like, nobody understands how much I love Anatole.
Classic Romeo and Juliet, guys. Classic.
So we'll just leave it up to the superstars to write into the producers then.
I think, why not, let's just have a whole bunch of people that we've never seen before so that there's no like money grab sitch going on.
But then no one will buy tickets to the show, KB.
But the show is good enough to sell itself, right?
Okay, all right.
I'll just tell everyone Velvet's there.
The person or the fabric? Okay.
They'll have to wait.
We're going to do top fives after this. Top fives. Let's go.
Top five Tolstoy turned musical.
Top only.
Top one.
Yep. Sure. Let's go with the top five based on a Russian literature? Sure. Classic.
What's that? Dr. Zhivago? Is that Russian literature as well? Or just me being racist?
Oh. No, I think that's Russian
It actually
literature.
Is great. Yeah. Chess? No.
No. No. No literature involved there.
Just a game of chess.
Just
still have never seen chess.
Wow.
What else?
Fix that.
Top five confusing titles of a musical.
Top five longest titles of a musical.
I think even there.
25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
Yeah.
A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder.
There's a few lengthy ones out there.
I mean, so it would still be. I guess it's intriguing. Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. Like, it's still a mouthful to say.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds a little bit like a circus show to me. Like, I hear that title and I think, it's about a Russian circus.
Yeah.
I don't know why I think that. And it's not.
Well, no.
Just to be clear.
Maybe when you direct it, Miranda, that's circus. The direction you can take it in.
Cool. Top five not circus shows.
Top five... What? How am I trying to say it? Gutting out of a theatre for a show. I don't really know how to put it, but you've got Haley Sound
Theatre
dressing.
Theatre transformations.
Theatre transformations is a good one. Even like King Kong in Melbourne had to change the theatre in order to get that puppet in there. So,
just knock out a wall. Just knock out.
The band had to like play in the hotel next door so that they had the room in the like they that's, could drop the pit fun. And everything. Like
it's
crazy.
Nuts. Yeah. Venue adaptations.
Venue much better. Less violent than gutting out of a theatre.
Yours was more theatrical. I'm happy to go with that. Top five beautiful designs. Luscious.
I think maybe I would put it on there because it doesn't just start and end in the theatre. The box office is included. Like, it's a whole experience.
Mm. Yeah, like the whole thing was... like you're in a Russian supper club was the brief for the design. Yeah. I would say top five roll call songs. That's what really the roll call song came on my Spotify recommends for you. And I was like, what is this show? And then I listened to the whole thing.
And then next played the roll call from Hairspray. And they're just two very different songs.
Very, very different. I do like the way it like builds up. So you get into that sort of...
Yeah. And a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah.
I think my favourite line of the whole show is in that very first song where they're like, and the minor characters. And you're like, oh.
Bless.
Bless.
That is sad.
Yeah. And then there's just three of them, like they could have just been major characters.
I did get caught out listening to it the first time. They're going through all the characters. I'm like, what about frickin' Pierre? Literally the second after I thought that, they're like, yeah, what about Pierre? Dang it.
Did you write this music?
No, I didn't. And then Pierre sang a boring song about being Pierre, but yeah. That's okay.
I don't have any other top fives.
All right. That's the noise that says we're done. Do we want to hear another small section of music or should we just say our goodbyes?
I think we should probably just say our goodbyes.
Okay.
Like we usually do. Yeah.
Well, sometimes I like to throw in an extra bit of music there.
Well, you're the host. You're in charge. You're in control.
If you want to throw in a bit of extra music, you can do that.
Here's my music for you all.
I wish you could have seen the dance.
That one was not written by no one else
was dancing along.
That's because we were so captivated.
Ari, did you like my song?
I did. I really enjoyed the song and I really enjoyed the dance.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you very much for bringing us Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
Thank you for having me.
It really is an interesting show to listen to, and I probably wouldn't have picked it up and listened to it if I didn't know you were coming in. So
excellent.
Thank
you're welcome.
You. I'm singing everything today.
I am like just watching you this whole time, just being like in awe.
What the hell are you doing?
The sleepier she gets, the more musical it gets. Apparently.
Are you up to anything at the moment you want to tell us about?
I was thinking about that, whether I want to plug anything, but I literally don't have anything to plug.
Would you like to plug the 24-hour musical?
Oh, so guys, there's this really cool thing called the 24-hour musical where they find out what the show is 24 hours before the curtain goes up, and then they just rehearse overnight and put the show up, and it's in Brisbane, and you should audition or buy tickets.
It sounds really good.
You should do both. You should audition and buy tickets.
You should do both these things. I think the question people always ask is like, do you really not know the show before you go in? And I'm like, no. You sit down at 5 o'clock and you're like, what have I gotten myself into? And you find out on the spot. It's 24-hour commitment, guys. That's it. It's audition. Great.
Yeah, it's my kind of commitment.
Yeah, 24-hour commitment. Yeah.
That is where we met, Ori.
It is.
We did some fabulous productions together. We'll be missing you this year.
Yeah.
Oh.
But we hope to see you anyway. Maybe you'll audition. Okay.
That's a good
maybe
joke.
Maybe they're doing the they might be doing Very the Little funny. Mermaid this year.
Yeah. You never know. Maybe. You never know.
Can I lip sync it?
We could be doing Cats.
Yes. If okay.
On that note, let us say
I love that you just made pluck the 24-hour musical. They're not even gonna be there for it.
On that note, it's time to say our au revoirs. My name is Miranda Selwood.
au revoir from Julia Eisentrager.
Bye from KB.
Find us on our socials, write, rate and review, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
So, what should I listen to now?
We are Castology. This is our podcast about podcasts. We are your castologists, Patrick Shearer,
Liz Best,
and Zainty Weber.
Each week, we'll bring you three of the best and sometimes not so best podcasts around. We'll also do the hard work and trawl the RSS feeds to find the newest podcast that should be on your radar.
And then next week, we come back and tell you what we thought of the recommendations and bring three new sparkling podcasts to check out.
Now, will we always agree with each other's picks?
Probably not. But hey, you're clever. You know that's how reviews work.
We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcatcher of your choice.
That's Not Kind of Productions podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.